All right. Zoom is, I don't know what it's doing. It's asking me so many questions that it never asks. It's like every day they've got something new coming online. Then they ask me a fucking million questions and I don't know what they're talking about. All right, Gabriella, you're first. This is medical weight loss. So if you have any type of medical weight loss, whether that is a special diet you have to go on, this is GLP-1 type stuff. This is, I've had weight loss surgery, anything in that realm, if you need help, today is the day that you get your coaching. So I'm pulling up Gabriella and we will get started. And as of right now, only she needs help. And we ain't sticking around if nobody else needs help. I promise you, we get off this call. Green got plenty to do today. All right. What you need help with? I know
Hello.
we've been talking in Facebook, but we need to catch everybody up a little bit.
So to start, I am on GLP-1 on a microdose. I have Hashimoto's and thyroid issues. I didn't get started with GLP until about 4 months ago, I want to say. So most of my weight loss came from, like putting in a ton of work in. And I'm on a microdose. So it doesn't really does anything food-wise. But anyways. So the reason why I wanted to get coaching today, I grew up as an obese child, which meant slim fast, Weight Watchers, you name it. I've been on a diet since I was 6, 7 years old. My whole life was always like, don't eat that, don't eat that, don't this. And so my whole life, I've had a pretty solid understanding of what I should eat, right? I lost weight first when I was 18. And like it was eating very clean proteins, this. Now, fast forward, this, I started with that mentality, but then I met you. And I started changing that whole mentality of diet. And I started eating a lot of foods that used to be forbidden for me. Now I actually enjoy them, like orange chicken or a mocha coffee with sugar and like real things, And so I stopped it enough. I don't do a lot of mindless eating. I close the kitchen at night. I've cut a lot of things, obviously, to get to maintenance. I started in 208. I'm in 152, which my dream was always 158. I was always like, if I ever make it to 158, well, I'm on 152, which is already like mind-blowingly awesome. I'm a size six. Like, yet somehow that chip from the back comes into like, you know what you should be eating to get to the next tone level, right? Like, if you want to really tone it up, like, you're already eating very little food. So, I should be prioritizing eating more protein and not drinking a mocha with sugar. And I should be doing more sugar-free stuff. And especially because, like, we live in New York where everything is amazingly delicious and everything is a foodie experience. And we're about to spend 1 month in Argentina, Chile, and Brazil. So it's like, oh, part of me is like, but I struggle a lot with that feeling of like, I do want to eat obviously clean protein because I know what it's like, I know what I have to do. Yet part of me is like, oh, I'm really enjoying this because it's
But
like,
why is it an either or? Why can you not do both and just like you might do a little less of that stuff, but it's almost sounding like in your brain, it's either I start doing the protein and eat clean and cut all this out, or I keep all of this and this can't be prioritized at all. Like, where's the middle for you?
I don't think there's a middle.
There
I
is a middle. I live in the middle. I know it exists. May not exist in your head, but it's out there.
I don't know. That's a really good question because I strength train 5 days a week, right? And I walk like 12,000 steps every day because and I skate with my kids. So I work out a lot. So I don't know why part of me feels like I cheat in the way of like I've lost weight because I'm so active and maybe I didn't really put in a lot of the work. So I
I
don't.
think you put in plenty of work. You are very active. That, I mean, being active like that definitely helps. It's not why you lost weight. There's a difference.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to snow anybody. If you get active, you start lifting weights, you start like, walking like she's walking and stuff, Yeah, it's gonna help with weight loss, but it won't help if you're still eating like a jackass. That's where
Correct.
people get that confused,
Yes.
is they want to just be like, I don't understand why I'm not losing weight. I'm at the gym 5 days a week and I'm walking 12,000 steps a day. Now I'm eating my face off every night and blah, 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 but I'm working out. I mean, it's like that's the problem. So for you, it's like we want to appreciate, yes, I have really helped my weight loss along by combining the mindset work and cutting out my mindless eating and working on my emotional eating. I'm also taking care of my body physically by doing these things. They all work together really well. So I don't think we have to like worry about that. I just want to figure out for you though, what is it that you're wanting? How much do you want to weigh? You want to go from 152 to what?
That's the thing. I don't know. Like, I thought that being at 158 was going to be the end all be all and that I was going to be happy, which I am happy. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know what? I still have that thing in me that it's like, let's say you have to do a chore, right? You do the chore, you should feel satisfied that you finished the chore. But somehow, like for example, last night, right, we ordered duck Chinese and we have a duck and we have noodles. They're gluten-free because I don't do gluten. And it's like I have a small portion, I stop at enough, but yet somehow in my mind is like, well, I could have done without the noodles. I should have not have the noodles. Because it's carbs, it has fat. Like I should have done, instead of so much duck, I should have done some chicken breast. And it's like
Well, let me ask you that. So you have all of those thoughts, which are very normal. They're not a problem. They're literally just the things your brain is thinking about. So now tell me both sides. Why was it not a problem for you to eat that way? And why was it like, because what you said in your post is you want to get leaner.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
And then why is that like if you were just going to think through it logically, it's like, all right. Why is that standing between me and leanness? Because it
Because,
can be both.
well, because then part of me is like, well, I wasted a meal that I could have worked towards getting leaner. Instead, I've just paused my progress by eating this stuff.
Okay. And then what is the other side, though?
Of
Because
why
I. So I asked you in two ways. So we can just see that there's two answers. I think in your mind there's one answer and there's actually two. Here's why it's not a problem. Here's why it is a problem. Because both can be true at the same time. So we know for you what you're thinking is like, okay, if I want to get leaner, if I had just had like chicken and vegetables last night, that would put me one step closer to leanness.
Yes.
And it's not a problem because why?
Because we were out, I homeschooled the kids. We were out last night ice skating for like 2, 3 hours. And, you know, like my husband just said, like, hey, let's just order. It's easier. And like, I'm very hungry and I'm tired. So I'm like, it's good food. So why not?
Okay, so this is where I think the problem is coming in. I don't think you realize that last night was an emotional eat and not a I'm living the no BS lifestyle eat. Tell me how last night was actually based in emotion instead of careful consideration for what your current goal is, which is leanness. Because it's not that the duck and the noodles were a bad choice. They were, but it was an emotional choice and not a well thought out choice.
I hadn't even thought about that possibility. Like it hadn't even dawned on me. And that's why I wanted to get coached. I don't know. I'm a little speechless.
All right, I'll tell you. Let me give you the answer.
Okay.
I was too tired to think. He offered, I just went with it. There was like a lot of, like I exercised. Like there was a lot of more diet mentality on that choice than on the other. Now, this is not saying that that wasn't also This is where we have to be in the gray all the time. This is why, like, when you get to this stage, it's going to challenge you in new ways because now we're into nuances of really thinking through, like, what's going on for us. It was also good because you do know how in those types of moments to regulate. Those are not bad foods at all. You know how to stop it enough. You were probably even hungry. Like you honored,
I was
yeah,
hungry.
like I was hungry. Did you stop it enough?
Yes.
Yeah. So you know how to do, like you know how to do all of that. So it's like, it wasn't like it was a catastrophe thing, but there was like this underlying part where it's like, okay, I'm doing these things, but if I really want to be lean, and I would have been okay with chicken and vegetables because I'd like to be lean. I probably am not going to get lean if I'm eating out of tiredness, just not wanting to make a choice, not wanting to think about it. Because that next level for you is not going to be based on technically what you're eating. It's going to be fine-tuning the little moments when you might have been willing to eat differently. If you were thinking about it instead of just emotionally going with the flow. And that is like a micro change. This is why I always say, like, that last, like, when you start getting into your stage, it's kind of like mine. Like, technically, right now, if I wanted to, like, if I really wanted to see every muscle, like, if I wanted to be able to flex my back and be like, see that rear delt? I built that baby over the last 8 weeks, doing this one exercise. If I wanted to see that, I would need to lose about 10 pounds. I am in good shape. You can see a lot of my muscles, but if I wanted to be ripped, 10 pounds. Now, those 10 pounds to get there is not hard, like suffering and restriction, but it means that when I go out to eat, I'm eating a salad and not ordering fries. Because I can, because they're fun, because if anything is, it doesn't mean fries are bad. It just means, oh, my goal right now is that. So, like, if we were talking about anything else in the world, it's like, say you want to get a raise. If you want to get a raise at work, you probably got to take on some extra projects. You got to be like, think about things we would have to do. We wouldn't be thinking like, I've got work mentality going on. You'd be thinking, no, I really want to get a raise. I'll take on the extra projects. I'll talk to my boss. I will be a better team player. I will do all these things. Will it require more hours? Yes. Will it mean that I don't always get to do exactly what I want to do? Like if I need to work over sometimes, I'll work over sometimes. But I'm not going to be thinking I've got work mentality going on. I'm going to be thinking like, oh, I have a goal. So I think that's what we just got to parcel out for you is like, what do you want? And it's not so much about what are you willing to sacrifice. It's about, all right, where are the little spots where you can make friends with the process of that? Because it may take eating like more. Like, I'm going to tell all of you right now, anybody that wants to build muscle, you better fucking like protein and stop
Oh
poo-pooing
no, I
on
know.
it. I know you like it, but like, people will act like they're going to like build muscle and just smell protein and call it a day. And it's like, that ain't happening. Like, I eat so much protein, I would rather be eating other things in the moment. But in the long haul, I'm like, I'm really glad I eat all that protein. And it tastes good. I don't bellyache when I'm doing it. But I promise you, when I go to the bar and order a salad with chicken on it, there's not a part of me that's like, I really want some French fries. I'm just like, that's normal. But I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm a martyr or got some kind of problem because I want French fries. I'm like, no, I also have a goal, which means goals often, any goal you ever set means you're going to have to work for it in some ways, and there's always compromises. And you just have to decide, are the compromises worth it? Sometimes they're not. I have a lot of people in this membership who stop losing weight at a certain stage because they're just like, I realized I don't want to get all the way to my goal. Like where I'm at now is where I really love. And so we don't keep pursuing a goal if the only thing it's going to do is make us miserable, because then you won't be happy at the goal. But if you really want the goal and you're willing to do it, we have to not make the process miserable. So when I say all that, what comes up for you?
A lot, right? Because I do think that I felt guilt after I ate, which then it leaves me to believe that yes, I'm doing a lot of emotional eating and not even realizing, because since I'm losing weight and I've hit goal, then it's like in my brain is like, well, how could I be doing something wrong because I'm stopping at enough? But you're 1,000% right. It is emotional. And I like, because I know the feeling of eating clean, and I like that a lot better than, oh, I had those noodles that I really could have done without. But at the same time, like I'm in a pretty good spot. I don't want to keep losing weight because my face doesn't look good anymore. My skin doesn't look like I know my goal is.
Okay, first of all, can we just like not say that? Your face looks good. You are sitting here talking to a woman who surfs facelift websites all day, every day, because I'm just like, oh my God, 51. Like every year is getting worse. So appreciate your face. One day you might actually want a facelift.
I
Now
do like
continue.
face yoga, and I micro-needle. But the point is, like I think I'm in a pretty good spot.
Okay.
It's just more like fine-tuning that protein.
So what is it that you really want? Like, let's just get to the crux of, and then I want to come back to why did you feel guilty about noodles versus just, let's do that first. Let's figure out the noodles, then we'll go to what you really want. Why did you feel guilty about eating noodles?
I just feel like it's a bad food. Like my whole life, I've been told that it's a bad food.
Okay, noodles are not a bad food. 100 times. I could tell you 1,000 times that noodles is not a bad food. They're just not. Look at Asia. They fucking eat noodles all the goddamn time. And they're one of the thinnest countries in the world. Noodles are not bad for us. Look at Italy. They eat a lot of fucking noodles and they're thinner than we are.
Yes, correct.
Now, what has happened, and I just want to unwind this for your brain. What has happened is there's a lot of popularized diets that knew that a lot of Americans are eating highly processed foods that all tend to be carbohydrate rich because it's cheap for them to make it. Like that is what's happened. So when you combine cheap ass food with people who emotionally eat, it's not the noodles that were ever the problem. It was never learning how to not rely on food to fix a bad day, to fix your self-esteem, to connect with people, to take your mind off, to numb out after work. I mean, I was coaching on the last call, some woman eating every night. It's like, there's nothing wrong with chips. I eat chips. I eat chips personally almost every day. There's
I love
nothing wrong with them. Now, if I'm eating them at night, bag after bag, because I have to numb out because I talk to myself like an asshole every day, what's the problem? Chips or being an asshole to yourself? But diets, that's not an easy sell in diets. What's easy is a book that says, hey, just don't eat these foods. And if you're only left with clean foods, which we don't emotionally eat, yeah, you're going to lose weight. You just removed every coping mechanism you have. But that's why so many people flame out on those diets too, because they never address the underlying. So, for the guilt, what I would tell myself is I'm unlearning that noodles are bad, but I may not want noodles because what I realized the next day is they didn't even taste that good. Now, if the noodles didn't taste good, or you notice the next day you don't feel as good as that's such a richer, productive conversation to have with yourself. Like, here are the reasons why I might not choose noodles going forward. And it's based in grounded things. But if it's just, well, noodles are bad for you, you'll never quit eating them. because they taste too fucking good.
Yes.
All right. So just don't feel bad about noodles. And I mean, plenty of bodybuilders, plenty of lean people, they
They
eat
eat
carbs
carbs and
and
stuff.
stuff. Yeah, they have to. They have to, or they can't build their muscle and stuff. So now let's figure out what you really want though. Because you've kind of said, like in your Facebook post, you said you want to be leaner, but then today you said you really don't want to lose any more weight because of your face. What is it that you're after? Like, if you could just, without diet mentality being a part of it or whatever, it's like, if I, Corinne, if you could just wave your magic wand tomorrow, I woke up thinking and doing these things, this is what it would be.
Just like having more muscle and like being, being okay prioritizing less emotional eating, like just going to a restaurant. Like, we're about to spend a month in Argentina, like making sure that I don't eat just to eat foods in the restaurant because everybody and their mom saying that it's delicious and it's a must try, like prioritizing that my health, that no matter where in the world I'm at, it's like I can like have more muscle and like healthier and just, and just being happy with this weight that I've accomplished, because
Okay.
it's a, yeah.
Are you happy at one with the 152?
Yes.
Okay, so we've already solved that problem. Because you said, I just want to be happy at this weight. And
Yes.
then when I
Yes.
ask you, are you happy? You're like, oh yeah, I'm happy. So it's just reminding yourself, hey, I am actually really happy at
Well,
one.
but 152 full of muscles looks very different than 152 not full of muscles.
Okay, but that's
No.
still, I'm happy at 152. What I want though is I want to change my body composition.
Yes.
So that's very different. Like, just even reminding yourself that, because a body composition diet is going to be different than like just a weight loss diet. A body composition diet might look different than someone who wants to eat all the foods that they want. Like for me, I have very big body composition goals all the time. Like I am in a constant state of trying to figure out, like, can I get just a little bit more shoulder? Can I get a little bit stronger hamstring? Like, I'm always like working my goals and stuff around that. And so I spend a lot of time like thinking through what foods would help me get that, what exercises are going to help me with that, what do I need to prioritize in my life for that. And a lot of times what I prioritize, like I was at my brother's yesterday, they were just doing shots galores, big football day. Do you and I was anxious as all get out. Like, I wanted to drink so bad because I take football very seriously. Like, I take it as seriously as like people take their jobs. And I had to say no. And it was not fun. That meant yesterday I had to watch everybody else
Sober.
coast. I had to watch everybody else get drunker and drunker. Nobody was stressing but me. I had to just do all that. But, I didn't think it was diet mentality that was driving it. I just knew, like, you got to work out tomorrow. You got calls tomorrow.
Yeah, you have goals.
I got goals. And, to get goals sometimes means in the moment, you just don't do the things that you want to do, but that doesn't mean that's bad. It just means it's a choice. And when I'm doing that, that's why I don't sit around and tell myself how unfair it was. Like, there was not one time yesterday that I thought it was unfair. There was not one time yesterday that I thought that that I was somehow, I don't even think I thought I was missing out on a good time. I think yesterday what I just kept thinking was like, this is my choice. I know it feels like ass to be the only sober one. It feels like ass to be this anxious because I'm watching my team literally get their asses handed to them. I had to come home. Like, I couldn't even watch the last 5 minutes. I left, I came home and I cried with Chris and then I went to bed. Like, that is what I did. And I'm like very honest about it. But I just want you to see I was making choices very similar to you. I have body goals and I don't feel sorry for myself because of it. And I don't feel cheated. Sometimes I want things and I wish, like, I will say, like, boy, I wish I could be eating French fries. And I always remind myself, you really don't wish you were eating French fries. They do smell good. I respect the part of you that wants them. But what you really wish for most of the time is that your legs look different, that they do not look like an 80-year-old woman. That's what I really wish for.
Yeah.
You know, in the moment, I wish for some fries. I'm like, no, that's not our wishes. Our wishes are not French fries. But it's a lot of like just thinking through those things, Gabriella. Is it
Yeah.
Gabriella? Just to make
Yes,
sure I'm
it's
saying the right name.
Gabriella.
Okay. I can't see. I was going by memory at this point, which is always not that great.
Yeah.
So it's thinking about, if I want more muscle and I want to change my body composition, that might mean there are times I make different food choices, but not because it's unfair, not because I,
Sucks. Not
or what'd you say?
because my life sucks.
Not because my life sucks and stuff. It's just like, you know, there's just going to be times that I'm going to have to prioritize. It's just that delayed gratification.
I think it's
Just.
more coming to terms with, like, I think you asked a very important question, which is what is my goal now? I think for so long I was so blinded on like getting to the number. That, you know, once you get to the number, you have this expectation. And I heard it on the maintenance calls, like you have this like grand goal, right? And now it's like, oh shit, we gotta refocus again, do a new goal. And I think it's like pinpointing that emotionally, because I have no problem like not drinking or just drinking with water. Like I've gotten really good at like gin and water, you know, or like just cutting things that I know really won't get me there. But now it's just fine-tuning, like, all right, that's my goal. And like I have to be mindful just how I was on the way down of planning, like if I have a chicken breast on the fridge ready to go, I'm not gonna give in to like whatever it is it's showing for
Yeah.
me.
Or even on nights like that, if you are tired, like, you know, do I have to order the duck and stuff? You know, can I just order my own food that's a little different? You know, I do that a lot. Like when we order, when we do things, if I'm, you know, I'm almost always eating differently than most people. And it's not diet mentality. I really enjoy my health as someone who was, you're like me. You already know what it feels like to spend your life very unhealthy, feeling the hangover of food, like all of that stuff. I appreciate that so much that when I do, like, quote unquote, make sacrifices, I'm never miserable about it. It doesn't feel unfair to me. What I feel is unfair is all the years I didn't think about it. I was so unfair to myself. I never prioritized my long-term feelings for my short-term needs. You know, that was, to me, that was unfair of me back then. Although, go ahead.
No, the thing that, and it's, I think, like, I think the thing is that I got like that because I had thyroid issues since I was a kid. Like, I, no matter how much I prioritized the short term, and then trust me, I was so good at keeping those freaking diets. Like, I was like the A student, and I would show up and like, bitch, you gain a pound. It's like no one, like it wasn't until my mid 30s that an amazing doctor said to me, like, no, you have thyroid issues. You're not fat because of that. So like, fix my health. Now I lost weight because I've always eat like. So I think that's why like my mentality is a little bit unfair, because it's like I put in all the work back then, and I did CrossFit and I run marathons, and I should have had that body. Yet here we are, two kids later in life, and I still have to do that again because now it works. But like now it's like now it's gonna serve a purpose. And it's like I've only had so little time to enjoy eating normal, but it's like my brain wants that because I've never had access to that body, but now I do. So it's like
Well, that's what you just have to decide. And this is the thing. I think your brain is still trying to make it seem like it's an either or. I either eat like a normal person or I eat like a body composition person. And
Yes.
that's why I keep trying to tell you there's a middle lane. And
Middle.
that is where I live. Like, Yeah, sometimes like, well, I did have fries. I mean, no, wait a minute. Was it fries? Well, I had Thanksgiving. I ate my normal Thanksgiving. I mean, I think I posted a picture in the, if I didn't post it in y'all's room, I posted it somewhere. I can show y'all. There was like brisket, mashed potatoes, okra, like fried okra. I mean, like shit on there that I love, that my sister-in-law, she's such a good cook. And then we went out on, I think it was Friday night. And then I got a salad and I got fries with it. And I think it's fine. You can have those things sometimes. It's watch out for having, like when you're going to do body composition, you just want to be doing it so intentionally when you eat those things. And it doesn't mean you only get one a week or anything like that. You just want to really, it's no different than when we're losing weight. Give yourself permission to think, do I really want this? And if I do, it's totally okay to have it. And if I don't want this, it's totally okay to not have it too. And here's why. It's a lot, I think for you, I keep feeling like there's this, it's a right or a wrong, it's this or it's that, instead of it's permission based. It's like, I'm gonna think and it's totally okay, whatever I choose. I'm just gonna like my reasons each time, instead of just kind of like, thinking, well, I include these foods, this must mean I'm being a normal eater. It doesn't always mean that. There's, I mean, just like our duck experiment, you included normal foods. You do know how to stop at hunger. You do know how to wait for enough or do all those things. But like when we examine it, it was based more in, I don't feel like cooking. It's a long day. I talked myself into it by saying, well, you also ice skated today. Like, you have really good reasons why this food's okay now. It's like that food was always okay. It did not matter whether you ate it or not. I just don't think you really gave yourself true permission. It felt more like an emotional eat versus a, I'm going to really think through this and I'm going to like my reason and know that this is part, like, literally, the best way to recomp my body is to like my decisions that I make and to be thoughtful about them. The more thoughtful I am, which takes a few seconds, that is how a body recomps. So when you go to Argentina, enjoy foods. Just make sure they're truly worth it. It's like you said, don't eat simply because everybody else is. Eat because Gabriella really wants to. Everybody else and what they're eating should be the last part of your consideration. It's like that's their belly. That's their taste buds. That's their enjoyment factor. What is mine? What will I really enjoy? And I said this in the, we have a beginner Facebook group for the people that joined in Loose 10. I was telling them the other day, it's like, you like your reason. You tell yourself why you want it. And you get really solid in that. What everybody else is doing is just not as, we make it important, but it's not as important. And if you really do want to eat it because everybody else is, then like your reason for that too. And just know that that's why you're doing it.
So much good stuff.
All right. So how do you feel?
A lot better. I think, like, first of all, I have to come to terms that there is a middle and it's okay to live in it because I live in the middle. Like, I am like, and if I like yesterday, if I look at the day as a whole, it was a solid day. Yes, I made a, like, I could have made a less emotional decision yesterday. But it's like, yeah, just getting to like, I feel like I've never really been embraced with the fact that there is a middle and it's okay. Like I either have like black or white, like the, because that's how my chip was growing up. Like you either do the diet or you don't. Like there, like it was never like, it's okay to be here. And it's like with that, I have no issues taking months in getting to my goal because I'm already at a good place. So it's more like being okay with the decisions that I make every day to avoid that guilt, to like be happy and being like, okay, this is what I chose. I'm going to be happy with this.
Well, that brings me to what I really want you to work on the most, which is I would love for you to make a list of all the foods that you think are bad that you currently eat. You don't have to worry about the ones you don't eat. We only have to worry about the ones you do eat. But make a list of why, like all the ones you think currently are bad. So you would start with noodles. And then I think what you should do is I think you should say, this is how these foods work for body composition. You've got to give your brain evidence that any foods will literally work as long as you're eating them intentionally and not just because you can, because everybody else is, because you want it right now, because you're tired, because you justified it, you know, all of that. That's more diet mentality than anything. Like that is what I always tell people. That's diet mentality. It's not, you know, noodles, good or bad. It's all of those antics. So, and I just really do believe you can include a lot of foods. You just like, I just like, I am just really good at prioritizing. Like, I would say 80 to 90% of my meals are like quote unquote clean. I hate that term clean because it makes it sound like there's dirty foods, but they're just healthier. They're more natural, that kind of stuff. But I've learned to really enjoy them. And I learned to enjoy them because I also learned to think about food beyond just my immediate wants and taste buds. I think about foods in a lot of ways. Like it's really important to me to eat healthier foods because the nature of my job, I am just like on a lot. Like I have a brain that has to be able to go and think clearly and stuff. I can't be suffering from binge hangovers and eating too much and eating just a bunch of low quality foods that are just gonna make me tired. Like I can't be tired in the afternoons. I mean, I'm coaching this afternoon. Can you imagine if I just decided to wake up and like just pile drive a sugary coffee and a donut because I was like, well, it's Sunday and everybody else was. I would be sitting here like, Gabrielle, I don't know what to tell you. Like, I'd just be a mess, you know? So, you know, I'm eating eggs and peanut butter toast this morning, like I normally do. So it's just really thinking about, you know, taking all foods, but also creating a really good love affair with why eating healthier foods.
And I do love eating good. I think I'm just selling myself the lie because, you know, I have oatmeal every single morning with collagen and protein and a gluten-free muffin. And like, you know, the life, it's an everyday thing, you know, it's like, and I do love it, but so much of my mentality has been black or white that I completely shove and forget that this morning I had a protein shake, you know, all of that, then went hiking and all of that. And like, I just tear my whole day because of one poor decision that I thought it's poor, and I just ran my whole day and not even let my brain think like, well, but you did so good.
Don't ever lose sight of all of that. Just remind yourself about that. I think it's for you. I really think your next level, especially for body composition, is to break the mystique that there are these bad foods that you should not be eating. The only foods that are bad for you are anything that literally wrecks your Hashimoto's. You know, like if there's certain, like if you're going to be eating just regular gluten, that's probably like that would be a bad food for you. Anything that's like detrimental to your health. It's just like my mom, God love her. She's got Barrett's esophagus. She's like, and if you have Barrett's esophagus, it means you've really got to protect your throat. Otherwise, you're going to have esophageal cancer. It is the stage right before cancer. And she was overweight most of her life, which meant she had a lot of heartburn and GERD. So she was always getting acid reflux and it burnt her throat out. And so now she has to be very careful about foods she eats because there's certain foods that like anything spicy. She should not really eat anything highly acidic. She should definitely do no alcohol. So I'm sitting at my brother's last night and she's taking baby shots. She never drinks unless she's up here with me and my brother. My brother loves to drink. She's trying to take these baby shots of vodka. And I'm just watching her just justify the shit out of it. Next thing I know, my sister-in-law's made jalapeno poppers and they're encouraging her to eat it. And I said, Mammy, like you've already had two baby shots. And I was like, are you sure you want a jalapeno popper? I was like, what about your throat? And I looked at my brother and I said, do not forget, Mammy has a bad throat. And they're like, oh, but it's not that spicy. And I said, somebody don't give her one until you've taken a bite of it and you swear to God there's no spice in it. Because I don't want to hear next week she went to the doctor and y'all pushed her over the edge. But like, even in that moment, she's got every reason not to have these things, but she just wanted to be included. And it was emotional for her. And I can see that. And that's not easy. But, you know, for you, for my mom, like a jalapeno popper, marinara sauce, anything spicy, that is a legit bad food because it does detrimental harm
To
and
your
is
health.
proven will do harm to her. You know, noodles are not proven to do harm to you.
And they were
And
gluten free, so
they were gluten free, so they are
that
not bad. Okay. Thank you for getting coached. You're
Thank you.
the one I coached not too long ago about your dad.
Yes, and I got so actually, you know what? I went from 158 to 153 because of that call.
That's awesome.
So I've gotten
I
to
just,
the point like I want to put in the work because it works.
yeah, you just keep lifting. I think you're not going to have a problem. You just keep lifting hard, 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 and prioritize your protein. That is really about all you really need to do. As long as you're doing that, and I mean lift hard. Like I'm taking this week off because for the last 7 weeks I've lifted so hard, almost every joint I got is barking right
It
now. Just like I deload week is incoming. I was like my elbow, my shoulder, ooh, my hip, like everything. And my husband was like, yeah, you and your fitness, you're a real bastion of health over there, and you can't get out of
But I love
bed.
it. It's addicting to like lift
I
more.
know
It is.
it's gonna
But
kill me to not lift next week, but I'm going for it. I'm like, joints, you're fixing to get a bath of recovery.
I know. I'm going to Argentina with my parents, so it'll be fun to tell my dad, like, no, that's my protein. That's my bag of chips.
That's right, it's mine.
Bitch. Mine. Yes.
All righty. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Corinne. Have a good one.
Bye. Zoom user, you're next. Always like it when y'all come in here with those names. My good friend has Barrett's esophagus and has had multiple surgeries over the years. Very careful what you eat, Mamie. I know, Jean, I know. Hey, Zoom user, it's Wanda. It's always a surprise as to who's going to show
No,
up.
I don't know how to change. I don't know how to fix my name. It don't allow me to be able to change my name on this Zoom. I don't know why.
Oh, that's all right. That's all right. I just tease. All right, what is what you want coaching on, Wanda?
So, I'm on I have weight loss surgery in April of this year. I'm on a GLP-1. I was on a GLP-1 before the surgery from November of last year to 2 weeks before the surgery, so I stopped it April 7th, and then I went back on it. I wanted to go back on it in May, but my doctor said it was too soon, so she said we'll revisit it. And so when I went back to her for a follow-up visit in September, she said okay, we can do it. So I started again on it on October 1st. So and I was crunching the numbers as I was waiting to be called, and my mind says that I'm not losing weight as fast as I would like to.
Oh my God, I just knew that was what you were going to get coached on. Like in my mind, before you even said a word, I was like, I'm going to bet we're going to be on slow weight loss coaching. So what is the slow been?
Yeah, so I before getting on back on the GLP-1, I did have a period where that, I'm doing all of the work. I know that for sure. I'm doing all of the work, like really exercising a lot. My eating has been, pretty much clean. And I wasn't losing weight. But last October, I did lose 12.8 pounds. And then this month, I felt like it was a lot slower. I was only gonna net like a pound, but actually I weighed in on Saturday and I lost 3.8. So it looked like this month that I will have lost or released 4.8 pounds. Okay.
not the 12.8 that I had last month. So overall,
Yeah, but you started the shot in October.
right, October the 1st.
Yeah, you probably just got a what I call a faux boost. It just means it was like doing its job and whatnot. But there's just periods of weight loss where sometimes we just have like bigger losses, and we have other times where they're just more stable. They're more like they should, like 4.8 is where you should be.
Okay.
Like that is just, I know, like I know we don't like that, but there's a reason why we don't like it. And that's what we need to figure out, what's going on with you. Otherwise, losing weight's going to feel like, I just don't want you doing it from impatience, because that's a sucky way to do it. You should be doing it from, and I know you already have a lot of pride and stuff, but I just want you to be able to do it from enjoyment and whatnot. And impatience will get in the way of that. It just won't let you enjoy all the fruits of your labor as much. So for you, what? Tell me the number you think it should have been this month in order for you to feel like, yay.
More I was hoping for more closer to that 12 or maybe 10 or something like that.
Okay. So it was going to be 10 to make it feel good or like not slow. So if you had been at 10 pounds, what would you have been thinking that you're not? Because right now you're thinking this is going slow. If you
It's
had
going
lost
slower
10
than what I would
pounds,
like.
all right. So, right. And so we just got to find out what you would be thinking if it was 10.
That probably wouldn't even be enough either.
Okay. Let's say it was 20.
Oh, 20, that would be amazing.
Why?
It would put me in a new category. I would. I don't know. I feel amazing now,
Well, that's good
but
to know.
yeah, I do
So
feel
you wouldn't feel
amazing.
any more amazing. You already are feeling amazing, which is good to remind yourself. I would, you know, if it had been more, I would feel no more amazing. I'm already feeling pretty amazing about what all I'm doing. What else would it allow you? Like, we're just going to try to find the shift between this number, I don't like it because it feels too slow. And usually, when there's this feeling of it being too slow, it's because we think, well, if it was faster, then I'd get to feel these things. Then I would get to think these things. And we just want to figure what those things are out.
Well, one of the, I mean, I'm doing this for my health also, but one of the things that when I get to us, the doctor says that when I went back, I need bilateral knee replacements and
Right.
right shoulder replacement. And so right after I had my surgery in April, I mean, in May, I went to both the orthopedic shoulder doctor and the knee doctor and asked them how much more weight do I need to release in order to have the surgeries. At that point, I had lost like 100 pounds, a little bit over 100 pounds. And they said I need to lose an additional 100 pounds in order to have these surgeries. So
Okay.
I'm kind of like, he thought that I might, the knee doctor felt like I might be able to hit that goal, maybe by the end of the year. But as of now, it's already December, almost December. And for the year, I've released 152 pounds, but for the year, I've lost 71 pounds. So I don't, I'm not going to hit the additional 100 pounds, by the end of the year.
What do you need to, how many more pounds do you need to lose before you can qualify for your surgery?
I need to get like cl more closer to 200 pounds. So right now, as of today, I weigh 274.
Okay. And your doctor has said that they will not operate on your knees unless you're at 200 pounds?
Yeah, closer to that. And they said reason being is because of the anesthesia, that I need to be closer to that. It'd be safer at that weight as opposed to what I am now.
Okay, that's true. I just want to make sure though that let's say my mom on all of her surgeries, she weighed well over 200 and they operated on mammy. Now maybe she had a bad doctor, I don't know. But
Okay, well, that's just legitimate. So it's like that could one thing that I would encourage you to do is when you're feeling impatient, is to remind yourself, this is I would call a good reason to feel impatient. It's like you absolutely want those knee surgeries. You know that it's going to be helpful and stuff,
Right.
and you would like to get there. And just explaining to yourself, it's like it's not that the weight loss is slow, it's that I really want to have surgery. And I know it's going to be a little bit longer before I get to have it.
Right.
So that you're not poo-pooing on good, normal weight loss.
Okay.
And I will just say this, I love doctors. Do not get me wrong. And if there's a doctor in here, maybe they can speak to this. But, you know, doctors very often just have zero to little training on normal weight loss. For a doctor to, how much is 100 pounds in a year? It just feels aggressive.
I didn't think it was outlandish, you know, being that I have all of the tools, you know, that I had surgery. I feel like even before adding the GLP-1, I feel like I'm not releasing weight as fast as somebody who have had weight loss surgery. And that's one of the reasons why, because I was having a lot of food noise. That's why I asked to go back on the GLP-1, which has helped, you know, helped a lot.
Okay. It's over 8 pounds a month, which is not wild, but also, I mean, most people aren't losing over 2 pounds a week in a realistic way, typically. But this is what I would say is get closer and closer. He may be more malleable if you get closer and closer to 200. If he's seeing that steady progress and you're continuing to go down and you're working on all the things, maybe even remind your brain, it's like, you know, when I get under 250 and I show him a solid track record of losing weight and everything, because somebody in here said they got their surgery at 237.
Okay.
You know, so I think one thing that I would encourage you to think about is to just when you're getting impatient to remind yourself, I am working on all the right things.
Yeah.
This
I
weight
know I've
will
come a long
release.
ways. I mean, the stuff that I can do now, like, you know, one thing, like, I set a goal this month to swim every day. And I've done that every single day, you know, compared to back in January. When I set the goal to go swimming, you know, I had such anxiety and fear that I've worked through all of that. I'm doing all of the work. So, yeah, I know that, you know, eventually I will get there, but it's sometimes I get a little impatient.
Well, and just honestly, Wanda, just be there for yourself in the impatient moments. Just say, like, I know you want this really bad, and we are doing everything we can to get there. And just keep reassuring yourself, I'm going to get there this time. I'm going to get there this time. And it's because I'm actually working on all the right things this time. Like, I really am. I'm working on your anxiety,
Right.
you know, like, and getting emotional about it. I mean, just look at how different you are from January to now. Like in
Right.
January, there was so much anxiety. And then this month, it was like I was, because I did read your post where you went out of town and you went to another gym to be able to
Yeah.
swim and you had anxiety and you
Right.
went away.
Yes.
Like that is the kind of change, that is the kind of growth that a knee doctor or a joint replacement specialist, they're not going to see nor appreciate. Now, it
Yes.
doesn't mean he's a poo-poo doctor. It doesn't mean anything like that. But he's just like clearly thinking, I need you to be healthy so you can do the anesthesia and we can do this. And if he's seeing that track record, you know, he's not going to be interested in you becoming a more resilient Wanda and a better self-talker and stuff like that. Although, in order for his goal of 200 to be met, that is exactly what has to happen because he doesn't understand that part of the journey. He doesn't
Right.
understand you've got to learn those things. And then that way, not only do you lose the weight, but you keep the weight off because you've become a resilient person. You've become someone who can push themselves and deal with the nerves that come up with it. You know what I mean?
Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome. Just keep going. And, you know, next month you may even lose even more. Who
Yeah.
knows? I also really believe this, and I tell y'all, I read this article. I'm always reading some. I swear to God, I'm always quoting some article I've read. It was talking about the body feels the way the mind thinks. And it was taught, they did a Harvard study where they took a group of people and they gave them a placebo, like a fake ass pill, and they told them it was going to help with their body pain. And but they also, during that time, they had to repeat these things in their head. They like weren't allowed to feel sorry for themselves because their body ached, and they weren't allowed to like they had to like appreciate everything that their body could do and not focus on what their body couldn't do. Every person came in at the end of the 30 days and rated their pain like 30% less. And all they did was practice for 30 days, not bitching and moaning about their situation, but they had to practice appreciation. The reason why I'm telling you this is not just for pain relief. I really do believe that weight loss speeds up dramatically when you talk to yourself in new ways. It influences tiny decisions, number one. But I think the biggest thing is that our body can be more efficient when it's not trying to heal our nerves and it's not trying to heal us. Like just even like it doesn't have the energy to release fat when it's having to pour its energy into figuring out how to like deal with all of your shit that's going on in your head. So I
Yes.
think just even you just remembering that that is such a key piece and could be like some leverage to speed up the scale a little bit. It's just like, you know, the more I celebrate myself, the easier I am on myself, the more that I reassure the impatient part of me, like, you are doing all the right things. It will happen when it's supposed to happen.
Yes.
I
I'm
think
looking
that could
forward
help.
to strutting into the in-person camp. Got the VIP ticket. I can't wait. And hopefully, I mean, if I don't reach goal by then, that, but I'm hoping I might be cl very close to goal around that time.
I don't care if you're at goal or not.
Yeah.
All I care about is like when you walk in that you're like, Corinne, I am still in the game. Like,
Yes.
and I am gonna be like, if I saw you right now, I'd probably fall down. Like, I swear to God. Like, you don't need to impress anyone. I promise you, like, with the amount of, it's not your weight loss that's impressive. It is literally everything that you have been willing to do for yourself, the tenacity you've had all these years, you keep showing up, you push yourself to do things outside your comfort zone. That's what we get impressed over.
Oh, thank
So
you.
when you get caught up in your head that you need to weigh a certain amount, none of us are going to be happier because your scale's down. We're going to be happier because Wanda fundamentally is changing.
Yes, thank you.
Right. You're welcome. Bye, Wanda. All right, Liz. And I know the bathroom. Oh my gosh. Like my breakfast is kicking in the wrong time. I don't know what it is about me and my colon. I swear to God. It's a lively little
About
fucker.
your colon.
Oh my God, I need to take a shit. I'm not even joking.
Oh my God.
But
I
I
almost
like you were the
had.
only one with your hand raised, and I didn't want to be like, well, let me get out of here. No, that's all
Sorry. I'm like,
right.
totally
I can
choked.
hold it. I'm not going to shit my pants, but I was just like, hell, if I'm not needing to go to the bathroom, and I've already done it once today, so it's a good day when you got to go twice.
Yeah, I almost had one of those days the other day. Since my gallbladder got removed, I'm like, oh shit. And when the bells hit the home Wi-Fi, for some reason, the closer to the door,
Oh,
the
yeah.
alarm wants
Oh,
to
yeah.
come
Well,
out.
it's like me and my bladder. I can't tell you how many times I've not had to go pee. And then I get out of my car, and then all of a sudden I'm like, I've got to pee. And I'm like peeing myself on the way to the toilet. I'm like, you couldn't wait. We were like driving for 2 hours and you didn't have a problem.
I know, it's crazy, crazy,
All right,
crazy.
what you want coaching on?
Oh man. So, I've been on GLP-1. I did your very first GLP-1 call that you ever had, was terrified of taking it, doing it. Things have been going okay, but man, I have been doing more emotional eating than I have done since I started the shot in May of 2024.
I just have all kinds of shit going on in my head. And, you know, my weight's going up and down and up and down, you know, same 5 pounds that it's been going up and down. And I'm not afraid I'm going to regain my weight. I'm just afraid I'm not going to be able to lose anymore because I just have so much stuff coming up. I know it's the first holiday since my stepdad passed. So, you know, I've been hitting my feels about that. And I
Is
just.
that coinciding with like all of a sudden I've noticed more food noise, or has that been
No.
like happening for a while, or?
That was happening a couple of weeks ago. And I have to go down on my shot again. So I went down in dose because at the higher dose, like it cuts the food noise off. It does all of this stuff. But then I get anhedonia, which is just basically you kind of lose the joy and happiness. It doesn't feel like a depression. It's just kind of like, So then I have to go back down. And then I'm like, oh, I feel good again. And I don't have this constant fatigue and stuff going on. But it
Well,
may have
2 weeks
had to
ago,
do.
though, it's coinciding with the holidays. I mean, once we're done with Halloween, everybody's in. I mean, you can't even turn on the TV without seeing Christmas and Thanksgiving, you know?
Yeah,
So,
just and I feel
are
like I've
you?
been saying fuck it more than I had been for a while. Like, I just,
All right. Well, that just is good to know. Like, you're very aware of what's happening.
yeah.
Are you working on it? Or are you just kind of in the land of, I just notice it and, well, shit, it's back and wah, wah.
Yeah, well, it's like, I'm like, all right, I got to drink more water. I got to stop going out to eat and eating all my food, right? Because before I
No,
used to.
you don't. You just told me the two problems, and you told me I need to, like, I'm sad that my stepfather's dead. I should probably drink more water.
No, I'm sorry. When you asked me that question, I was like, yeah, so I've been trying to recognize more what's happening. And what I'm trying not to finish my food. I'm trying not to emotionally eat and eat past enough is what I'm trying not to do.
All right, I think that's great, but you're like, this is the problem. You're saying I'm hyper aware that I've got emotions happening. So the answer to grieving my stepfather is stop it enough.
I've had so much diet mentality going on. I'm just trying to control.
I think if we work on being okay with grieving and processing all of that, we don't have to do all of the controlling. We remove what's actually driving the food noise. This is classic, no BS. Like, this is why I always tell y'all, shots are great. And at some point, emotion, something will come up in your life that your body will say, when I'm in an emotional crisis, I will go back to what works until you solve the emotional crisis. What is like in your mind? I don't even know what to ask. Like, it just feels like the obvious thing is like you miss your stepdad. So why do you need to eat it or eat over it?
It's fast and it's easy. And it just helps me just for that moment not feel and not feel sad and not feel sad about for my mom. And,
What is the harm in feeling sad for yourself and your mom?
there isn't. I don't think I've really grieved, you know, like I felt like I had to take care of her a lot. And I was just like, just kept going. I'm like, I'm still losing. This is great. This is great. I'm like, I've been able to get through all of this. And then it's just, and then I'm like, I can't. And it's been, I've just been doing way too much.
So what would it be to, like, when you say I've been doing way too much, like, what is that?
Been working a lot. I've been just checking out, like playing games on my phone, which is fine. Like, I don't feel lazy. I know I'm just like, I don't want to feel right now. I'm just finding every reason. And then
And
sometimes I'll just.
why do you not want to feel right now? That's the probably the best question. Like, what is wrong with feeling right now?
Because then I feel like it's going to stop whatever progress I have right now and losing.
Oh, that's hilarious because not feeling has stopped all your progress. The scale keeps showing you. You know, the less you feel, the more your progress gets stalled.
I just feel confused. I'm just like, what the fuck? I'm like, you should be able to handle all of this stuff. You should be able to do this on your own. And you should be, and it's just like, I think I'm just fucking sad. I
Yeah.
just need to be okay with that.
Why right now are you not okay with being sad? Like, literally, we already know that being sad right now is probably the answer to your weight loss, not the stall. The avoidance of the sadness has literally got you in a stall right now. Like, I have to eat. If I'm going to avoid the sadness, that means like sadness is going to say, like, I'm getting dealt with. Now, you can either let me sit here with you and we can have a kumbaya and we can cry and we can like do the things, or we can eat, but we're not going ignored.
Yeah, I mean, it's so true. I keep thinking I can outrun my feelings. I'm like, yeah, I don't have to go through this stage of grief. I don't have to go through this. Like, I don't know why I think that that I get to pass all of that.
I
So then
think
I
we all think that to some degree simply because we just don't want to do it.
yeah. And then like all the stuff, like, when I tagged you in Facebook the other day, I'm like, I'm in the doodle about my body. And I'm like, I don't even know that I'm just trying to find shit that I'm just like focusing on. And I'm just like, ugh, maybe, yeah.
So, what do you think? Like, if you were just to put on your logical hat for a second. And you were like, this is what I absolutely need right now. And that is what would get my weight loss going again. And it's not, I don't want you to mention, I need to stop it enough and fuck it eating. I want you to think underneath that, the things that drive those things. Like, this is what I really need. If I did this, even if it was scary, even if it was whatever, I think that would really be my answer. Where do you go when you hear that?
I want my mom to love me the way I want her to love me. And I just have to accept that it's not going to look the way I want it to look. And I just had a hard time with that my whole life.
Why does she need to love you that way in order for you to feel loved?
Just had this vision in my mind since I was a little kid of what it needed to look like and
Okay.
what it should be. And I'm just having a hard time like letting that go and just accepting. I know that she loves me. I just want to see it
Well,
the
how
way
are you
I
missing the
want to see it.
signs right now? Like, what is it that she does that clearly demonstrates she absolutely does love you? It's just not the way you want it.
I think I've just wanted to have this different mother-daughter relationship. Like, I just wanted to feel super close to her and that I could share stuff with her, that I could be vulnerable with her. And it's just not there.
Right. So, but go back to my question, which is, how does she currently love you that is her clear sign? Because you said, I need to see it. I need to see that she loves me. But then you also said, I know that she loves me. Okay. So sometimes what happens is when we have a desire for someone to love us by like, I need, like, if you did all these things, now I would know. And I would enjoy it. And it would be so much easier on me. What happens is we then tune out the love that they're already displaying in their own way. And we don't get good at reading their signals. We just sit back and we can't see them. So then we feel miserable. So let's just start with your mother. How do you know she loves you? What is her unique way of doing that that has nothing to do with the way you would like to?
I mean, she tells me. I
Okay.
mean, she tells me that. I think that's really the only way that I feel. I mean, she did. I mean, we hung out for the holiday. I mean, we got together on Thanksgiving, and she didn't want to be with
So she,
anybody else.
okay, so she celebrated holidays with you, which is so funny because in the other Facebook group, I was coaching a woman who her son won't spend the holidays with them because he wants to be with his friends. She's like, now that means he doesn't love me. And your mom is like, I want to spend my holiday with you. And you're like, yeah, well, mother, here's the agenda.
I mean, it's really been like I feel that little girl inside of me that's been like her whole life wanting this. It's a very prince, not prince, it's a very dreamlike, like my mom has to, she can only show up in this way, and then I'll know for sure.
But you already know for sure she loves you. You told me.
I know.
Have you reassured the little girl in you that, like, hey, we already know our mother loves us and she does these things, and questioned whether or not that way you want is even what you really want anymore? It may just be something you're used to wanting and you haven't even questioned it. Like, what is it that your mom's not doing that makes you think, well, this isn't good enough. I need it this way. Because I was just going to say, it doesn't sound like your mom doesn't love you. It sounds like the way she loves you isn't good enough for you.
Probably so. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I could be wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I think I just, we're not like super duper close. We're not like these, like, let's go do mother daughter trips and let's go do this and let's go do that. And, I was hoping to do a mother daughter trip and then I had to get gallbladder surgery. And,
So she was willing.
she was willing, but she also wanted to do something else on the way. And I was mad about that and I didn't say anything. And I'm like, I don't want this trip to involve anybody else. And I couldn't tell her that. And then I had to get my gallbladder out and it just kind of fell through. And I was like, well, why don't we go for Mother's Day next year? And then she was like, I don't know. I don't know. And then I was like, well, she doesn't want to do this trip with me then.
But why? Have you even asked her why? Or are you just assuming it's because she doesn't love you the right way?
My mom and I don't talk like that. She would
How
just
about,
change the subject.
okay, but you could take guesses. Right now, your guess is she must not love me. My guess is that you and your mother have very different interests. It's like you want, you're just like, I know we're gonna go on this trip. And anything you wanna do is not good. And anything you wanna do is a signal that you don't love me. Instead of like, my mother has fucking different interests. She wants to include other people, not because she doesn't love me, because that's how my mother is. There's a big difference.
It's a great point. I never thought about that. 'Cause I'm like, she doesn't want to spend time with just me. Well,
No,
then.
your mother probably thinks the trip would be even better if y'all did other things. To her, that would be just like fantastical. In her mind, that's the fantasy mother-daughter trip where she gets to be with you and people that she likes too. And I don't know, maybe in her head, it's like, I'm so proud of my daughter. I would like for other people to see her. You never know what the fuck's going on in her head. You've decided, you know.
Yeah.
At your own misery, you have decided. And this is the nice thing. When you and your mother don't talk like that, that means you get to fill in the gaps.
Have filled in the gaps since I was like 5.
You're right. And you need to talk to your 5-year-old self and say, I think we've been wrong about this all of our lives. And I think I actually know the truth now. And I think this is the truth. So I just don't think we have to keep feeling like we're getting hurt all the time. I think what might be happening is I'm hurting myself. I don't know that my mom is doing this to me
I
anymore.
don't, I mean, I don't think she has for a long time. I think you're right. I think I just make up a story and that's what I believe because I need an answer. I need
Yes,
an
that is
answer.
exactly what's happening. I need an answer, so I fill in the gaps and I fill it in the only way I've ever done it, which is my mother doesn't love me. And I've never, ever taken an adult approach to it. I've just been doing it from a 5-year-old's mindset the entire time. And the
That's
5-year-old in me just, she needs me to say, girl, I have relooked at this. How old are you? I think we're the same age, aren't we?
51, yeah.
Yeah, I thought we were the same age. It's like, I'm 51. I've been really thinking about this for us. And you sit and you literally write to her and say, you know what? I think we need to fill in the gaps differently because I do know my mother loves me. And I would like for us to go on trips. We had one planned. I wanted it to be solo. She wanted to include other people, but I just don't think that has anything to do with how much she loves me. If she didn't love me, she wouldn't agree to go in the first place.
Yeah. I mean, I love that. I love flipping that. Like, that's one of the things I'm working on right now is like flipping the negative to the positive, like trying to counter it. And I just never thought to do that here because it's just so, what's the word I'm looking for? It's probably my longest habit of like, oh, I see this and that means this. And I've just believed it and I've never challenged it.
Well, that is the power of challenging things is that, it's even our belief systems and the way that like they're tied up in like people that love us and stuff. It is no different than being like right-handed. And if you had to write with your left hand, it would feel foreign. You wouldn't think you could do it. You'd be mad that you're do it. Like we would go through the normal human emotions of it, but at some point we'd have to get used to it. And when it's the beliefs are the same way. It's like you have to challenge it and you have to do it on purpose. And you do it because you know at some fundamental level, like for you in particular, the most spot on thing you said is, my mom and I just don't talk like that. Which means you have been creating a story the entire time for her because you desperately want to know, does she love me? And when I asked you about it, you said without a doubt, if I know she loves me. In fact, she tells me she loves me. I've just for a long time been filling in the holes. And I've been thinking if it, like in my mind, if it looked like this, I could feel assured. And what I need to do is look at the actual relationship and be assured all the signs are right there that she loves me. And then sometimes we just don't like the same things. It's like me and my mother, we get along like oil and water. In fact, she yelled at me last night and I yelled at her at the game. And my sister-in-law was like, I need another shot. Like, it's not a family gathering until me and my mother have gotten pissed at each other. And I don't even remember. Oh, she was going to sleep on my brother's couch or something. And I was like, well, mama, Logan will come get you if you want to come back and sleep in the bed. I was worried that she'd jack her back. And she's like, I don't want Logan to come get me. I've told everybody 1,000 times I'm okay sleeping on the couch. And I said, you haven't told this one. Like that. And my sister-in-law was like, I need a shot. But I
Hilarious.
don't like, I used to get so pissed. I used to think like, we don't have a good relationship. Like I used to think all these things. And now I just think like, but it's just me and my mother. We're just like, we argue sometimes. And we literally don't communicate the same. I'm a very in-your-face person. My mother is a very big people pleaser until she feels scared that she's disappointing someone, and then she just rages. And then she'll over-apologize. She'll probably apologize to me when I go upstairs. Swear to God, I'm just waiting on it. But it's one of those things where I just want you to see, like, relationships are what you make of it in your mind. And you get to believe that your mother really loves you, or you get to believe it'll never be good enough.
I want to believe that she really loves me in the way that she can, right? In the way that she says or can show me. And I love what you said, like talking to the little girl of like, let me show you the evidence, right? Like that she really does. And then just like letting her know, like her dream that it's gonna look exactly this way is probably gonna have to stay in the dream.
Well, let me blow your mind when I say this. Maybe when you let go of the dream and you start just really looking for all the love your mom has, it may be better than what your dream was.
100%.
Because it's tangible, it's real, it's right there for you. I would challenge you, like, not only do the work of, like, here's the things I think are the evidence and whatnot, I would make it a goal that every time you talk to your mom, that you like center yourself and say, my job is to look for every sign that I have missed that my mother really does love me. I wonder how many things I have missed all these years so that I can start seeing it now. So that little girl does not have to sit there and worry anymore and like do it for her. And don't shame yourself for all the years you missed it. That's not the point of the exercise. The point of the exercise is to free 51-year-old and 5-year-old Liz to be like, oh my gosh, it's always been right here. And now I see it and I'm here for it.
I love that so much. Like, use my energy to look for the evidence of the love instead of the evidence of no love.
Yeah, or trying to convince yourself it's like, well, we just got to settle. I mean, for some people, that is a great place to be at first, but I feel like you've been really struggling to settle and it's not your answer. It almost feels like it's like every time you said it, it's like I just have to accept it. And it never came across this energy that's like, this is a bridge. It felt more just like a disappointment. And I just don't think you need to do that.
I don't want to do that. That's a great way to just look at that relationship, but just change my perspective on so much, you know.
Okay, now how this all ties back to this pause in your weight loss. We need to do more of this. Because this is why the food noise is back. This is why you want to fuck it eat. We're doing a lot of avoidance of feeling our real feelings with our stepfather, allowing that grieving, that, you know, and this is the weird thing about grief. When did he die?
He died New Year's Day of this year.
Yeah, so one thing, I don't know if you know this about grief, but for a lot of people, about the 1 year mark is where some people really start feeling it because you're through a lot of the busyness, you're through a lot of the stuff, and it's not until about a year later before it hits a lot of people. So it's very normal, especially because he died on New Year's, right around the holidays. You just have to think about when it comes to grief. Like my grandparents died at least 20 years ago, my grandmother and my grandfather, like 25 years. I'm always trying to see. Chris and I were just starting to date. So about 25 years ago. And then Logan was about 2 and a half when my granny died, and he's 23 now. I've watched her. She's here this week, and she has talked so much about missing her parents. And it's just not gotten easier as she gets older. And it's around the holidays and around their death. It's so normal for grief to wave and to come back and to do those things. I think when you don't fight it, it's so much easier on you. Like grief can kind of feel really good. It's not even that it sucks when you're going through it. It's more of this like, I feel like you've been crying a lot on this call, but now you kind of feel better because you talked about it and you allowed yourself to cry and we got some new insights and we did those kinds of things. And it's like kind of like grieving is kind of the same way. It's like if you really just let yourself have it without shame, without thinking you shouldn't be, it's that stuff is what makes it so awful, is the pressure we put on ourselves about grief. But if we just kind of let it be there, I mean, I still cry for my granny all the time. In the weirdest times, I'll just break down in bed and cry, and then I feel better after. And I don't judge myself for it. And I think that's why I feel better after. So just kind of let yourself do that, but and also do some of this work on your mom. And I think you will just see, like, okay, the food noise, it is back, but I was always going to have to work on this stuff. Like, there was no way that there was going to be a weight loss shot, enough protein in the world to make me figure out a new relationship with my mother. You know, I mean, shit, that's just not going to happen. I wish there was a shot that healed mother-daughter relationships,
Oh
but
my
you
God,
know,
for sure. I
that's
know.
probably 1,000 years away and we won't be around for it.
I know. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much. I really needed that. And thank you for helping me to shift the perspective of look for the evidence of the love. I
Yeah.
love that.
All right. Well, thank you, Liz.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. Let me grab the questions and then y'all, I gotta go poop. Like, seriously, my eyes are about to turn brown and I'm a blue-eyed girl. I am shopping for a new office chair. Is that gray leather? Would you share where you bought it? Oh my gosh. It is a gray, it's like a stone leather. Honestly, the people that decorated this office, this is a set. I do not know where they got it. I can try to ask them. Let me see if I can. I don't know. It's called Leisure Mod, Your Own Classic. It's like leisure and then mod is the Leisure Mod, one word. You might want to look on there, but there's a group that came in. This is all not real. This is not a real office. This is literally fake ass shit. Like nothing's real in here. It's built in, but it's not like a, those aren't real cabinets. If you put anything else on them, they're likely the whole wall will fall over. It's a faux wall. That is artificial lights behind those windows to make it look like there's nature. On the other side is Chris's office. It's just a soundproof room. How do I know if I need to lose more weight or focus on body composition? I've been maintaining my weight for over a year, but would like to look more lean. It just depends. Like, the best thing to do, honestly, to know if you really need to lose more weight or whatever is go get a DEXA scan. They're usually about $200, but it'll tell you how much body fat you have versus muscle. You just want, I mean, it body composition really is, in the simplest of terms, is where you are working on certain areas to build out muscle to kind of change the shape of your physique. So for me, I build my shoulders to make my waist look smaller so that I look more like I'm tapered this way. That's why I do a lot of pull-ups and stuff. I do shoulders and back work because it's like the bigger that gets, the smaller this naturally is going to look. I don't have a naturally small waist. I'm kind of built, I'm very hippie, but I was never really like, I'm no Kardashian. Like, I just don't have, like, I kind of have like, I don't know. I was always kind of like this and then a big hip. And so I've spent years doing big ass back workouts and shoulder workouts so that this looks bigger than this. That's kind of like body composition. I don't have a big ass. I have big hips, but I always have a flat ass. I've been working really hard on booty work for over 2 years, almost 2 years now, trying to build my little dump truck, but that dump truck's coming along slow. Let me just tell you. So I mean, you can go and get a DEXA scan to kind of see if, like, do you still need to lose some fat? And do you have plenty of muscle? That's one way. But really, it's honestly, it's like if you want your body to look different, just lift weights, lift a lot of weights, and then prioritize areas of your body you would like to see more of the muscle. You still have to lift the entire body. So, like for me, I'm fixing to go into full body workouts again. I've been doing 4 and 5 day workouts where I split out all my body parts for a while. My joints aren't loving it. So I'm going back to full body workouts, but I will prioritize, like, let's say I do two leg, two back. I'll probably do one shoulder, one bicep, one tricep, but I will probably throw in three, like maybe three shoulders or something along those lines. So it's just like, I just happen to know a lot about weightlifting. I've been doing it for years and years and years. I've worked with all kinds of trainers. I have tons and tons of routines. My best advice is if you really want to do some of that is to hire a trainer and tell them what your physique goals are. Just be mindful that a lot of times they want you to, some trainers are really antiquated in their nutrition advice. I don't think that you have to eat solely clean and do all that kind of stuff in order to get decent results. I really don't. Most women are going to look really good if they're just lifting a really solid routine. To really recomp your body, though, you've got to be lifting weights 3 to 4 times a week. Like, it's not going to happen on two. Two is what we call keeping your muscle healthy, great. One, also, 1 time a week is better than none. Two is really what's going to, for most of you, will give you longevity, allow you to do things when you, as you get older. You start getting into 4 and 5 day splits eventually. You will notice your body changing more. If you're doing that more than cardio, three is a really good way to, like, once you've kind of gotten jacked some, you can kind of maintain. That's why I'm really going to be focusing more for the next few months on just maintaining what I've got, but prioritizing my priority body parts so I don't really lose anything there. I don't know. It's a lot of gobbledygook for a lot of you who probably aren't interested in it, but I just can't say enough about lifting weights for any woman, whether you're on a GLP-1, weight loss surgery, whatever you're doing. I just think women should be lifting weights. I just, it's a disservice for you not to be doing it for your body. It's what's going to keep you young. It's what's going to be able, like, there's a lot of like just your grip strength, if nothing else, as you lift weights, your grip strength improves. There's hardly anything I can't open by myself. Every now and then, something will be really stuck and I have to get Chris. But I mean, it's got to be, Herculean stuck in order for my hand to not be able to turn and twist it enough. But I want to be able to open, like, a fucking soda bottle if I need to when I get older. And, lifting weights because you're always having to pull and push and do things. It's what allows you to one day to be able to reach for things, get up out of the floor if you fall down, be able to fall without breaking something, to be able to open things yourself, to be able to easily get in and out of cars, and just like it's just functionality overall. And that is really important for women. There's a lot of studies that show that a lot of women who die in their 70s and 80s, they die because they fell and they're just brittle. And once they fall, they can't make it through the rehab because they have no conditioning whatsoever. Like, I just feel like it's really important for us, not just aesthetically, but to just, like, I'm in it for aesthetics, but more importantly, when I get older, I want to be able to take care of myself. I do not want to have to hire someone to take care of me because I didn't take care of myself. Like, now if I got cancer or something, that's one thing, but to just basic living and I can't do it, I want to be able to put shirts on. I want to be able to pull off, I'm hoping that I'll still be sweating and need to pull off a wet sweat sports bra in my 80s. And if you don't lift weights and stuff, you might not be able to do those things. So I just want to be able to do that quality of life stuff. I want to be able to travel, like, when I get older. It's just, there's so many things I want to be able to, if my niece ever has kids, I want to be able to, like, lift up her grandbabies and play with her grandbabies and stuff. My son is sworn off kids. He's like, never getting married, never having kids. So I'm like, all right. But my niece. Maybe she will, and then I'll be able to spoil her children. So, all right, y'all. That's it for the day. Y'all have a good one. I will see you later. Bye, y'all.